Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الَّذِينَ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. We are going to question the people whom the messengers were sent to, and we shall also question the messengers themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقِفُوهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ مَسْؤُولُونَ. Detain them, O angels, Allah will say on the Day of Judgment. Detain them, they are going to be questioned. And our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us some of the questions that we are to expect in the court of Allah for the benefit of those who are afraid of their prospects, the prospects for their future, their real future. No retakes will be accepted in this exam. And everybody has to be present. What are these questions? Question number one. You are to expect a question on the Day of Judgment pertaining to your salah. In fact, this will be question number one. There will be a thorough and a very agonizingly precise interrogation with regards to every bowing and prostration and wudu and khushu' concentration and time of each salah and the delaying of each salah. And thus the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, as Imam al-Tirmidhi narrates in his Jami' on the authority of Abi Hurairah, he said, the very first thing that man will be asked about in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment is his prayer. If the prayer is complete, the rest of his actions will be complete and he would have successed and prospered. If, however, the prayer is lacking, then he has ruined and he had failed. If, however, he says, there is a deficiency in the obligatory salah, Allah will say to the angels, look into his optional salah, which we can use to patch up the deficiency in his obligatory salah. He says, and then the rest of his actions will be assessed in a similar manner. This is question number one. What other questions are we to expect? Question number two, you can expect a question with regards to an-na'im, the delights. Every bit of goodness and pleasure that you had enjoyed in the life of this world, there will be a question in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about it, down to the very micro blessing. Allah says, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then you shall be asked about the delights. Look at the clarity of the questions. Look at how clear the matter is. The paper is there in front of us. What are we going to be asked, O Allah? You're going to be asked about the delights. Imam al-Tabari narrates in his tafsir that Qatada said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى سَائِلٌ كُلَّ ذِي نِعْمَةٍ فِيمَا أَنْعَمَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah is going to ask every recipient of any blessing with regard to that blessing that he had enjoyed. Would you believe me if I was to say to you that according to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some dates and a bit of drinkable water and a bit of meat constituted as those delights that a person will need to find an answer for in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment? Can you believe that? A bit of water, some dates, and a bit of meat is a question that needs an answer on the Day of Judgment. La ilaha illallah. But then about the delights of the 21st century? Electricity in our homes, heating at the pressing of a button, communication. What then about the delights pertaining to our senses, our limbs, our able bodies, our access to Islamic material and Quran and lectures like never before? What then about this type of na'im? What then about this type of na'im? It's going to be a stern and detailed interrogation about every blessing that you and I had enjoyed, down to the very micro blessing, la ilaha illallah. This is question number two that we are to expect on the Day of Judgment. For those who wish to prepare, nobody can claim that they were caught off guard. As for question number 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, these are questions that were found in one hadith that focus on a person's life, youth, money, and knowledge and application. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as was narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi in his Jami' on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, لا تزول قدم ابن آدم يوم القيامة من عند ربه حتى يسأل عن خمس عن حياته فيما أفناه وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه وماذا عمل فيما علم. Man will not move from the court of Allah on the day of judgment. In other words, we will not be dismissed till we are asked about 5 things. What are they? Till he is asked about his life and what he did with it. His youth, how he spent it. His money, how he acquired it and how he disposed of it. And number 5, his knowledge and how he applied it. Ya Allah. Look at the clarity of the questions. This is from the rahmah of Allah. Preparations can start from today. He said his life and what he did with it. What does that mean? You're 60, 70, 80 years here on earth. What was the theme of those years? What was it that occupied your time the most by day and your thoughts and your concerns the most by night? What was the cause that you truly lived for and died for? This is the question, your life and what you did with it. We have to prepare an answer. Question number 2, he said, his youth and what he did with it. When your urges and desires, my cravings and urges, when they had rocketed through the ceiling, when our desire had reached an all-time high, how did we behave? Were we like the rest of the other shabab youth around us? Communicating with whom they want, buying and selling like they want, delaying their prayer like they want, shouting back at their parents like they want? Or were you a youth who was different? Shababihi, fima afna, what did he do with his youth? That's a question that requires an answer. He said, number 3, and number 4, his wealth. How he made it, how he spent it. The avenues of making quick cash today, they are countless. How did you make your money? And then when you made that money, what did you do with it? Did you enrich your mother and father? Did you spare your mother and father from the burden of needing to take loans from strangers whilst you have a full-time job as their son? What did he do with his money? Did you enrich your family? Did you enrich those who are poor? Did you give your zakat on time every single year and make up for the years that you had missed as well? What did he do with his wealth? Question number 5 was, what he did with his knowledge. Allah has blessed us with tens and hundreds of Friday sermons and lectures. This is a privilege that will not pass without a question on the Day of Judgment. This is question number 7. Question number 8. We are to expect a question with regards to our limbs, our senses that Allah has built within us. A privilege that will require an answer. Eyes, ears, the touch, the smell, and the other senses, Allah Almighty says, وَلَا تَقُفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عَلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. Allah says, do not follow that which you have no knowledge of, because indeed the hearing and the seeing and a person's heart, all of this shall be questioned about on the Day of Judgment. La ilaha illallah. Thus, how does a wise Muslim prepare for that exam question? When his eyes are presented with the haram, the gaze is lowered. When the ears are presented to that which is haram, and we know what they are and what this is, the ears are covered. When the heart is polluted with doubts with regards to Allah and His oneness and His justice. When our hearts are polluted with envy, hasad, greed, selfishness, one bad suspect of our brothers and sisters, we cleanse our hearts. The ears and the eyes, the heart, all of this shall be questioned about Yawmul Qiyamah. What other questions are we to expect? Question number 9. From the 10, we are to expect a question in the court of Allah with regards to every evil that you saw happening in front of you and what was your stance towards it. Ya Allah, this is a very difficult question. And I ask Allah Almighty to pardon me and to pardon the rest of us. A question that is so heavy that some of the companions would cry when they came to learn of this hadith. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as Ahmad narrates in his Musnad, and Ibn Majah in his Sunan, and others on the authority of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah ta'ala yaqulu lil'abdi yawm al-qiyamah, ma mana'aka idh ra'ayta al-munkar an la tunkirah. Fa'idha laqana Allahu abdan hujjatah, qala ya Rabb, rajawtuka wa fariqtu minan nas. Ya Rabbi, rajawtuka wa fariqtu minan nas. Allah will say to a person on the day of judgment, why was it that when you saw the evil happening in front of you, why was it when you saw the evil happening in front of you, you didn't say anything about it? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if Allah allows this person to give the correct response, this man will say, oh Allah, oh Allah, I had hope in you and I was afraid of the people. He was honest. Ya Rabbi, I had hope in you and I was afraid of the people. In another narration, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, on the authority of Abi Sa'id, لا يمنعن رجلا هيبة الناس من أن يقول بحق إذا علمه. Nobody should withhold from speaking the truth when knowing of that truth due to fear. Nobody should allow his fear, he says, to prevent him from speaking the truth when he comes to learn of that truth. Abu Sa'id, the companion, the narrator of this hadith, he cried when he heard this. And he said, قَدْ رَأَيْنَا وَاللَّهِ أَشْيَاءَ فَهِبْنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمْ. He said, wallahi, we have seen wrong things, but we did become afraid to speak out. And in another narration, Abu Sa'id would say, وَدِدْتُ أَنِّي لَمْ أَكُنْ سَمِعْتُ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. I wish that I had never learned of this hadith. It could be a friend, it could be a colleague at work, it could be a member of family who is committing an act of haram in front of you. Thus expect a question, Yawmul Qiyamah. For you, my brother, my sister, who wish to prepare to in advance, expect a question on that day with regards to your stance when you saw that haram unfolding before your very eyes. As for question number 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us during that examination about our actions in general. Allah says, فَوَرَبِّكَ لَنَسْأَلَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. By your Lord, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are going to ask them all together about what they used to do. By your Lord, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we shall ask every one of them about what they used to do. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, as Imam al-Bukhari narrates in his Sahih on the authority of Abi Bakrah, and he said this during his farewell pilgrimage, when he was in Mina, he said to the companions, and these were some of the last words that the companions heard him utter. He said to them, وَسَتَلْقَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ فَسَيَسْأَلُكُمْ عَنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. You are going to meet your Lord, and He's going to ask you about your actions. dearest brothers and sisters, days before our final year exams. Our lives are in a state of emergency in preparation for these exams. Similarly, at times, we as parents almost wish to place our children under curfew to help them prepare for those final year exams. And this in of itself is not necessarily blameworthy. This is praiseworthy, but what is blameworthy is when we do not feel within us a similar level of anxiety and fear and urgency with regards to the ultimate examination of tomorrow, the failure of which will not be merely a retake that we need to make, or a year in our academic lives that was wasted, or limited career prospects. No, failure of that exam means failing one's eternity. Thus Allah says, defining to us the meaning of failure, He says, قُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَلَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. Say to the people of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the true losers, the people who have truly failed, are those who have failed and lost out on themselves and their families on the Day of Judgment. Allah says, this is the manifest loss. This is the ultimate loss. There are some of the questions ahead of us, dear brothers and sisters, for those who wish to make a wise and smart preparation in advance.
Are you tired of all these annoying ads on YouTube? Are you worried that a haram video might pop up? Well, the One Islam TV app is here to solve these problems, inshallah. The One Islam TV app is 100% free of any ads and is safe to browse for your peace of mind. Watch or listen to lectures and lessons while you work, rest, or drive with your device switched off. Watch videos on demand or download videos and watch offline. Watch hundreds of high-quality produced Islamic reminders, Quran learning videos, stories of the prophets, and so much more. 2 to 4 new videos uploaded daily, inshallah. One Islam TV is 100% run and owned by Muslims, which means a small amount you pay for your subscription is a sadaqah jariyah, continuous charity for you, as we use the funds raised to continue producing more beneficial videos and reminders, inshallah. The One Islam TV app is now available on Apple devices, Apple TV, Android devices, Android TV, Amazon Fire TV, and Roku, so you can watch on most devices and smart TVs. Download now for a free 7-day trial. May Allah reward you for supporting our work.